Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on answering the interviewing question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Folks, if you're thinking about interviewing anytime soon, now is the time to start preparing. Interviewing is not about smarts. It's not about personality. It's all about preparation in the modern age as more and more companies use more and more tools to separate the wheat from the chaff. Our interviewing series is over 50 podcasts that go through in detail every step of the interview, how to prepare, how to dress, resumes, cover letters, how to chit-chat, how to answer tell me about yourself and your leadership style and significant accomplishments with repeated examples, how to close, how to ask questions, how to follow up, everything in enormous detail because we know interviewing for most people is a black box. Come and check it out. Where do you see yourself in 5 years is a common interview question, Wendy. There are a lot of stupid ways to answer this question.
As my mother says, ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer.
Yeah. And of course, people, if you don't know it's stupid, you think you're being clever. And most really clever interviewing answers are wastes of time. But most people haven't thought about it. They're not prepared. And we need to help them come up with the right answer. So what's our guidance?
Okay. So we're going to give a four-part answer. We're going to talk about our contribution, we're going to talk about the skills we bring, we're going to talk about relationships, and then we're going to look forward to what might be on the horizon.
What's interesting about this is I don't know yet, but based on the show notes, but what you've just told me makes me think I'm not going to have to name a job title.
No, we're not going to name a job title.
Well, but my point is, I'm being a little facetious in that that's what people think they're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
And because they don't know anything about job titles in 99% of the interviews, they assume this question dooms them from the start.
Yeah, kind of they have to pick something and then they pigeonhole themselves. And then because I said it in the interview, it's set for all time, which none of those things are true.
Well, yeah. And I just think it shows people how wrong they are about interviewing basics, and they misunderstand the question and then therefore misunderstand the answer, and they're stressing and they get the wrong answer and they know they do the wrong answer, and so now they're stressing about the wrong answer, which of course is the second mistake, which is our interviewing series teaches is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm sorry, point one is we're going to give them a four-part answer.
Yeah. And oh, you said it's an easy answer to get wrong if you're not prepared. And yeah, so many people ask this question that there's no reason not to be prepared for it. And if you're prepared for it, then you give a helpful answer instead of one of the facetious ones like in your chair or in your boss's chair.
Well, surely by then I'd, you know, several hundred people would be working for me.
That's right. I once worked with somebody who was doing their annual review. He was an individual contributor in IBM and was doing his annual review, and you had to put, like, where do you see yourself, or what's your ultimate career ambition or something. And he wrote CEO, which was so unlikely. It just proved his unlikelihoodness. But once you've got one of those answers in your head, it's really hard to bring up something that's actually, you know, helpful.
Right.
And what the hiring managers are really looking for is not to know exactly what you think your job title is going to be in 5 years, or, you know, not to know that you think you're going to be married with children or whatever. They're just trying to think about how this position fits into your medium and long-term plan. So they're thinking about, what they're really asking is, are you thinking of this position as part of your career path? Or it's a kind of trick question, or are you is this a stopgap? Is this, are you just thinking of this as a stepping stone to something else?
Yeah, I've also seen it used slightly differently. Well, it is in terms of career path, of finding out whether or not this person is ready to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who said, this is really the ideal position for me, or hinted at, this is the extent of my desire, is scary, not because companies expect everyone to try to climb the ladder, but because over a 5 or 10 year period, the role you're going to be in is going to change, and you have to be someone who's willing to embrace growth and improvement. We've talked about this in other casts where somebody says, I just want to stay where I am. That's their way, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, of saying, I don't want to change. The problem is, if your company grows at 5 or 10% per year, which would be the number that most successful companies would want to grow at, then your job is going to change 5 to 10% per year. And if you don't change, you're declining relative to the company. So there are no jobs with dogs and trees in companies or ones that stay completely flat. And so this is one way that clumsy managers attempt to get at your willingness to grow by pinning you down on a certain title, which is dumb, guys, because all the titles change all the time anyway. So
yeah, I hate this question because I just think it's not helpful. It doesn't achieve what the hiring manager thinks it is achieving,
right?
Because everybody gives the same answer. It's a bit like saying, do you like working in teams or on your own? And everybody says, well, I like both, which yes, in my case is a complete lie. But nobody ever says, actually, do you know what? I hate working with other people because I'm better than them. So it's a worthless question. It wastes 5 minutes. But the answer we're going to give you, it doesn't necessarily set you apart, but it will skirt all the pitfalls, and it's a reasonable answer. So,
okay.
Which is the best you can hope for, probably.
Right. Okay.
So the first part of the answer, we're going to talk about your contribution. And in this, we're trying to tell the hiring manager that you believe that you're going to be a contribution to his team. So if you think about the long-term plan, we're not talking about long-term. We're just talking about this job. But we're talking about it as if it's something that we're going to put some effort into, some soul into. And it's not a stopgap. We're not just using you. We're actually thinking about this job and the ways that we can contribute to it.
So how would that sound?
Okay, so something like, in the short term, I'm really excited about being able to contribute my skills and knowledge in this role. As much as you've told me about the role in your team, I'm sure I can't see all the ways that I'm going to be able to help.
Okay, or you could say, I'm really excited about getting a role in this industry. In the short term, I'm just looking to contribute or deliver as much as I possibly can in a company like yours that has the right kind of values for a person like me.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Okay, so in other words, the first step really is not the 5 year part. You're going to start by stepping into the first role.
Yeah, we're going to tell this hiring manager, in the next year, I'm going to be here for you.
Okay.
And then the second part, we're going to talk about skills. So we're going to be a bit more specific about the skills that we're bringing to the table. The good thing about this question is it gives you a chance to talk about things that you might not necessarily have been able to talk about in other questions. So if they haven't asked you something specifically about something that you wanted to talk about, something that perhaps differentiates you from other candidates, or something that you want to reassure them that you do have, that they haven't asked you something where you can tell them that, you get to do it in this question. And you don't want to get too far away. Like, you don't want to talk about, as we always say, underwater basket weaving skills, because that's not helpful, right? The hiring manager is not going to think, oh, great, she's got underwater basket weaving skills. But we want to talk about something that's going to be helpful, but maybe differentiate you.
And of course, this takes preparation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is why you have to think about it.
Right.
So, for instance, we might say something like, I know you were looking for project management and architecture skills, which we've already talked about, but I also think my experience managing a help desk can be helpful. It really taught me to look at things from a user perspective.
Okay.
We're addressing the things that he's already talked about, but we're adding something that maybe other candidates don't have.
Good. I'm worried here, help our long-term audience with the issue of, wow, we're not answering the question directly right away. I feel like I should have said my target 5 years from now rather than building to it.
Yeah, you could start with the end and come back to this.
Yeah.
You could start backwards and start from 5 years and come back towards the present. But I think most people think in terms of the present and work forwards. And so we're just taking them on a journey. And it's
right.
The answer is not so long that they can't follow you.
Yeah. One of the things I did when I was reading the notes for the show, which folks are available to licensees, is the tone I took is in part one, I might start with, well, for right now, in your mind, you know, the phrasing is in the short term. I might say, well, let's start with the short term. I'm really excited about being able to contribute to this role. And I know you're looking for project management and architectural skills, right? In other words, I'm going to make a case that, let me just mention that I'm right for this role and my skills are extensible. And then the last part is, so that would then mean at some point. Good. Okay, good. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Of course, when we write these, we write them as if we're writing. But if you rehearse them, and when you talk, you add all of those kind of interstitial and joining pieces and make it make more sense.
Right.
Another example of adding more skills. So you might say, even though it might not seem relevant here, I do believe that my experience working with unions will come in handy. It really honed my negotiation skills, and I find myself using those in all sorts of situations. So you might use that to add something you think differentiates you, or you might use it to mitigate something that you think might be a concern.
Okay.
So if you've worked a lot with unions and you think that this hiring manager is in a non-unionized plant and you think that they might have concerns about your ability to work with other people without rules, then you can address that here.
Good. The third step is extending into relationships.
Yeah, so we've talked about results, in a sense, because we've talked about skills and experience, and now we're going to talk about relationships, because those are the two things that your career is based on. And it doesn't matter whether the hiring manager said, oh, relationships are really important in this job, because as you said earlier, all the jobs with trees and dogs are taken.
Taken, yep.
So it doesn't, whether the hiring manager says it specifically or not, every job needs relationships. And the more relationships you have and the better relationships you have, the more smoothly the work goes. And it doesn't, you know, whoever you know, whoever you have a good relationship, whether it's like the security guard or the CEO's assistant, work goes more smoothly when you know more people.
Okay. And what would it sound like?
So we might say something like, in the medium term, I'm looking forward to developing new relationships. I find that the better my relationships, the more relationships I have with people in a role, the more smoothly the work goes and the better I can serve customers.
You might say, if we take my tone of I've mentioned the past, I might say, as I grow longer term, I want to continue developing industries in the company and more broadly. I'm an active member of the Accountants Association here in Denver. Being a member helps me keep up with changes, which is a big part of what I think of as career development, just keeping up with changes. And it gives me the network, too. And I think an good, strong internal and external network will help me serve the company better.
And for everyone who's wondering, I made up the Association for Accountants in Denver, and then I Googled it, and guess what?
There is one.
So if you're an accountant in Denver, there's a group for you.
We talk about relationships here. One of the mistakes I made in my career, among many, is I had, at the age of 22, 23, starting my professional career in the Army, this idea that I'm not going to play politics. I'm simply going to be great at my job, which was wrong.
Which is what every 22-year-old, right, thinks.
Yeah. And part of that, I think, is because I didn't like the fact that it didn't follow the rules, that it was unknowable. The political machinations were unknowable. But what that turned into for me later was a lack of recognition of the importance of relationships. And I think that happens to a lot of people. They forego politics, which of course is the art of relationships. It is not dirty backstabbing, you know, behind closed door deals. And I think, particularly if you're early in your career and somebody asks this question and you mention relationships, it's going to be catnip to a recruiter.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So now let's get to part four, which is a look forward, which is really where this question was headed. But because of the way we started it, we're able to lead in this way.
Exactly. And we've stayed on a shorter horizon because we want to keep the emphasis on how we can serve now, because the future is unknowable and we don't want to talk about a mythical future because it's all imaginary. Anything could happen in 5 years. But, you know, as we said, one of the rules of interviewing is to answer the question. So we do actually have to answer the question. So something like, 5 years from now, I'd like to be able to look back and see how my contribution in this role allowed me to expand my skills. I'd like to be in a more senior role where I can continue building my contribution and my skills. Of course, it's hard to be specific. I'm sure there are parts of this role and this company I haven't understood yet, which may provide opportunities that I'd be very excited about.
Okay, I'll take the other one. 5 years from now, hard to predict, but I'm aiming to be a member of the Institute. That'll allow me to contribute even more to developing others, developing the company, and contributing. I'd love to be a part of the audit committee. I really believe in starting off on the right foot regarding projects. Let's make sure they're right before we start. And this role gives me grounding to learn what I need to learn in order to have the opportunity to achieve. Where I want to be should be commensurate with my achievement. I don't know enough to know yet where my achievement might take me, and that's part of the beauty of this firm.
Perfect. Gold star, you get the job.
And I'll tell you, folks, we're giving you examples, but don't confuse our examples with the right answer. Okay, they're examples of what someone might say in order to convey the right intention, and you shouldn't just swap out your experience and put it into this answer unless it makes sense for you. We assume you wouldn't interview for a job that 5 years from now would absolutely put you in the wrong place. Interviewing is not about fibbing. Interviewing is about being persuasively truthful, which is to say we start with truthfulness and then we attempt to make it persuasive because we're looking to be our smart self and our best self. So these examples hopefully help you understand how it will sound, and we simply put together hypothetical parts that may give you different phrasings that will strike a chord with you so that you could begin building your own sort of Lego house, block by block, and background based on your background, your interests, the company you're interviewing for, the industry you're in, and so on.
Yeah. And your answer might be different for every company because every company offers you a different path, and they might name something differently, or you might see a different direction. And often we have different ideas about what we could be doing in 5 years.
Right.
You know, I would be equally happy doing X as I would Y. And these two companies gives me X and one gives me Y. So my answers are going to be X and Y. They don't have to be the same every time. You don't have to have one ambition. You can tailor it to the company that you're talking to.
Yeah, I would even say that they don't have to be. You don't have to be equally interested in X and Y. You could be more interested in X and very interested in Y. And the idea that I'm most interested in X, so therefore I wouldn't interview with Y, is dumb.
Yeah.
Because you can't take an offer you don't have. And too many people, I think, do that. Oh, I definitely want to work at Apple and not at IBM, so I'll only interview at Apple. Well, you may end up moving from IBM to Apple in 2 or 3 or 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Divisions are sold all the time in that kind of industry. It's amazing where you might end up from where you started.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
That's okay. Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.
That's it, everybody. Hope this was useful. Come back next week. More actionable advice on CT Career Tools every week.